Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you today during these strange times that we're all experiencing. Even if I'm just looking at a camera, I'm also using my imagination and seeing you all right there in front of me and looking forward to the day when we will once again, with great joy, be able to gather in our church building and see each other properly face to face. In case you don't know me, my name is Jo Rodman and I'm one of the readers at St George's and St Martin's. It's great news, isn't it? But even though we're not together physically, we can, of course, still open God's Word together. We can learn from it, be encouraged by it, and hopefully take its message away with us into the week ahead to be fed and sustained by our God's goodness as we continue to face uncertain days. Well, if you've been tuning in regularly to these online Sunday services, you'll know that we're looking at present at the Old Testament book of Ruth. Just to recap briefly, it's a peaceful and happy story set in the violent times of the book of Judges. You may remember that Ruth was a Moabite woman who married an Israelite, but her husband died. And Ruth showed unusual and uncommon loyalty to her Israelite mother-in-law, Naomi, and deep devotion to the God of Israel by returning with Naomi, who was now also a widow, to Judah. And where Christine left it last week at the end of chapter 2, Ruth and Naomi had arrived back in Judah. Ruth had been working in the fields during the harvest, and there she'd met Boaz, who owned the fields. Boaz had been kind to Ruth, and Ruth had worked hard providing for herself and Naomi. And as we move on now to look at today's passage, if you've got a Bible handy, it might be helpful to glance at it as we work our way through chapter 3. I'd like to suggest that we call the first section of chapter 3 up to verse 5, Naomi's Initiative. Naomi's Initiative. Because one day, after Ruth had been working in Boaz's fields for a while and going home in the evening to her mother-in-law, Naomi says in verse 1, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for." Or in other words, "Ruth, it's about time you settled down. I'd really like to see you settled in life." Naomi is concerned about Ruth's welfare. And of course, the best way, possibly the only way, for a young woman to find security at that time, in that culture, was through marriage. Naomi explains that Boaz, whose fields Ruth has been working in, is actually a close relative on her late husband's side of the family, and Naomi sees a possible way forward. She suggests that Ruth dresses up in her best clothes and goes at night to the threshing floor. Harvest time was also feasting time, and they knew that Boaz would be there. Ruth should wait until Boaz lies down and goes to sleep, and then she should go and lift up his bedclothes and lie down at his feet and wait to see Boaz's reaction. Well, at first glance, Naomi's plan seems rather forward, to say the least, doesn't it? Perhaps even slightly outrageous or bordering on the immoral. But it was the responsibility of parents in those days to make arrangements for marriage. And a system was in place in that society, an ancient marriage institution, which made provision for the name and the line of a man who had died without children to be continued through his widow's marriage and childbearing with another man. The other man, the new husband, would be a relative of the husband who had died. It could, for example, be the man's brother. There was a strong sense of family solidarity amongst the people of Yahweh. The members of a family had a duty to protect and care for one another. In situations of family need, such as a young woman being widowed without children, a close relative had a duty to act as a protector or redeemer, to buy back the widow out of what could be dire social circumstances, and to reinstate or make safe the family line of her deceased husband. These customs and obligations for the Israelites, along with lots of others, are set out, of course, in the book of Leviticus. So, rather than being outrageous behaviour, Naomi's initiative, the plan she hatches for Ruth to approach Boaz at night, is actually in line with the custom of the time. All the preparations for this nighttime visit, the place, the way of approach, the timing, are all geared to make it clear that Ruth is asking Boaz for marriage, according to the ancient Israelite custom. So that was the first section, Naomi's initiative. We're moving on to verses 6 to 9, and I'm calling this section Ruth's Courageous Loyalty. Ruth's Courageous Loyalty, because here we see Ruth's response to Naomi's plan. Without question and showing great respect to her mother-in-law, Ruth got on and put the plan into action. After the harvest festivities, Boaz lay down to sleep on the threshing floor. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down as planned. And in the middle of the night, Boaz woke up and got a bit of a shock, as you would, to find a woman lying unexpectedly at his feet. "Who are you?" he asks. And in verse 9, probably the key verse of this chapter, Ruth answers him with typical humility. "I am your servant, Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." By using that phrase, guardian redeemer or kinsman redeemer, Ruth, as an in-law, is asking Boaz for marriage. The right to be bought back by that ancient marriage rite, or redeemed by a close male relative of her dead husband through marriage. Ruth knew how important a husband's inheritance and a male heir were to God's people in those times. How important it was to Naomi that the line of her husband Elimelech and her late son be continued. Naomi was too old to bear children. Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, had stayed in Moab, so this important family duty fell to Ruth. Quite apart from any personal wish for a husband and children, Ruth knew that she was now part of God's people, and with great courage and great loyalty, she was willing to play her part, to step out in faith, to show deep trust in God and steadfast loyalty to her adopted family. What an example for us of commitment and loyalty in relationships. Close friends and family are so important to us right now, aren't they? So this second section, verses 6 to 9 of chapter 3, is about Ruth's courageous loyalty. Moving on to the third and final section of chapter 3, and look with me, if you will, at verses 10 to the end of the chapter. We've seen Naomi's initiative and Ruth's courageous loyalty, and now the narrative turns to Boaz's response to Naomi and Ruth's request. So I'm calling this section Boaz's Gracious Generosity. Boaz's Gracious Generosity. Because Boaz too models great relationships by treating Ruth with respect, decency, and gentleness. He prays for God's blessing on Ruth. He insists that she doesn't go home alone in the middle of the night, but waits until first light. And he sends her back to Naomi with a generous gift of barley. Look at verse 17, where Ruth says that Boaz gave me 6 measures of barley, saying, "Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed." That phrase, empty-handed, reminds us of verse 21 of chapter 1. That was the last time Naomi was empty-handed, when she came back from Moab, having lost her husband and 2 sons, and changed her name to Mara, meaning bitter. "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty," she said at that time in verse 21 of chapter 1. "Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Now, though, Naomi's empty days are over. She's no longer empty-handed. because God's providence has been at work. God had gone ahead of Ruth and Naomi and prepared hearts and minds and attitudes. We know that because Boaz understood immediately what Ruth was asking for. He had the right to respond however he wanted because he wasn't the absolute closest in line, the next closest relative. But his response was one of grace and kindness. Talking of the book of Ruth and this idea of God's providence, God's involvement in our lives, John Wesley said, "Many a great affair is brought about by a little turn, fortuitous as to men, but designed by God." God had been designing the way in Naomi's initiative, Ruth's courageous loyalty, and now in Boaz's generosity. Do we believe that God goes ahead of us in our challenges and tribulations? Is that something that you pray for? Have you had times when you've experienced God preparing the way for you, working in hearts and minds and attitudes, your own and those of people around you? God had been at work in Boaz, preparing him for this moment. But more than just being a decent man by agreeing to marry Ruth, Boaz, of course, becomes Ruth's kinsman redeemer, the one who buys her back from dire circumstances and an uncertain future, the one who gives her hope and new life as she puts her trust in him. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Written many generations before Jesus came to earth as a man, this book cleverly and powerfully points forward to God's purposes for the whole of his people, which were to come. He would give his only son to be born as a human, live amongst us, and die to redeem us, adopt us into his family, and give us a future and a hope. So what can we learn from this chapter, from these three people and their interactions with each other, from this developing story of initiative, loyalty, and generosity? Well, let me suggest three things that we can learn and apply to our own lives and situations. Firstly, God's providence, which I've already mentioned, that sense that he is with us and he does care. The sense that God is interested and involved in our lives, leading, guiding, sustaining. Even if we don't understand at the moment with all that's going on around us in the world what God is doing, and even if we have lots of questions, we can trust in the Bible as the inspired word of God and look to its teaching for reassurance and truth. The author of this little book of Ruth clearly had a deep faith in God and wanted to show us that all things fall within the providential care of a gracious and loving God. That in Christ, God gives us what we need to help us cope with uncertainties. Surely that is part of the meaning of faith. God's hand was without doubt on Ruth's life. All the twists and turns, all the it just so happened moments were designed by God to lead eventually, many generations later, to the birth as a human of God's Son. Many of us will never before have faced uncertainty as vast as we are facing in our lives right now, this very week, this very day. This world health crisis, the closing down of society, of the life as we knew it, came about so suddenly, didn't it, 6 or 7 weeks ago. The constant threat to our health and that of our loved ones. The anxiety around the education and qualifications of our children. The uncertainty hanging over our work situations, our jobs and our businesses. The disappointment at losing the basic freedoms that we feel entitled to as inhabitants of a democratic country. And perhaps worst of all, the death and despair that is all around us and that just keeps on coming day after day. It hurts, doesn't it? And it's really hard. Let's remember God's providence that we can see in this story of Ruth. Let's remember that this crisis wasn't a surprise to God. Even if we don't understand at times where he is in all of this, His word teaches us that he is with us. He does care. He does sustain us when we turn to him. He provides. He helps us through. And don't worry if you don't always feel God with you, or if he seems rather quiet sometimes, or if you don't experience specific or dramatic signs of his presence. That doesn't mean that he isn't there. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, once said, "It's not about feelings, it's about the fact that God is faithful." God's providence is a key theme in this book of Ruth and is so relevant to us today. Secondly, we've seen in this chapter great loyalty and faithfulness in relationships. Relationships which reflect God's faithfulness to us and challenge us with a pattern to follow. We've seen a model of loyal and faithful and supportive relationships with each other. Our contact with each other in our church family and amongst our wider family and friends has had to change dramatically, hasn't it? We've had to rethink how we do pastoral care in our church and community, how we stay in touch, how we show love and concern for those around us. But don't we need each other now more than ever? What better encouragement could there be than to look at the loyal, decent, caring, loving relationships between Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz in today's chapter? And thirdly and finally, we've seen powerful, self-sacrificial love. Boaz, Ruth's kinsman redeemer, guardian redeemer, illustrating God's saving and redeeming faithful purposes for his people. It's no coincidence that this story of Ruth is set in Bethlehem, or that Ruth and Boaz produce a child, Obed, whose line leads eventually to King David and then to the birth of Jesus. Because, of course, there is a huge pointer here leading us forward into the New Testament, foreshadowing Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, the ultimate redeemer, the expert at buying people back, releasing them from the captivity of sin, reconciling them to God and to others, our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Ruth, in her difficult circumstances, placed her life into Boaz's hands and was redeemed, so we too have the opportunity today, in our difficult circumstances, to place our life into Jesus' hands once again and to be adopted afresh into his family, reconciled to God and to each other. Amen.